You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And becomes involved with a woman and is corrupted and so forth and so on. And this film works really because of David Bowie's absolutely singular presence and of the, you know, the several films that he did. This is one that I remember very fondly, and I looked at it again, and it has withstood the test of time.
Wow. Now, where was Bowie in his career when this came up?
This was 1976. So he was, you know, very much a rock star.
Yeah.
Very, very, definitely a global phenomenon, if you will.
Right.
He went on to do many other films, and continued to work in films. He did The Hunger, he did several others, and this is one of my favorites.
Pretty rare to have somebody from a rock generation appearing in so many films as well. Is that right?
Well, it's to say the least, quite unique.
Yeah.
Quite talented. I think he certainly could have. I think he could have become, quite a significant actor, if you will. But music was really his forte, and there you have it. But this one is one of the best ones that he did.
Neat. All right. Well, like Elvis Presley was in a bunch of movies, but that was all a way of just simply spreading his music around.
Yeah. Well,
but
that was that was just
yeah.
That was just kind of cashing in.
Right.
You could certainly we could certainly talk about the Elvis Presley filmography at another time. There are certain films to be. To be savored there for
right.
a number of reasons, but this is something else again.
I didn't intend to draw the parallel. I think they're completely different.
Understand.
But just don't want to be a total buffoon and say there was no other rock star out in the film industry in this making films. So
right. Yeah.
That's
well.
All.
Yeah. So Elvis and Bowie. Too bad they couldn't have collaborated.
Yeah, too bad. Well, it's funny. Funny you bring that up, because around Christmas time, I continue to play, which I believe is my favorite Christmas song, and that's the Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy, that's done between
Bowie
and Bing, done in the 1979.
That was around the time this film came out, yeah.
Yeah, and Bing, I think, passed away 2 weeks later.
Oh, really? Yeah,
yeah.
From shock, probably.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty darn good piece
It really is.
Very unique.
I don't think they had ever met.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Friday. Sorry, I'm... was running a little late, and you're hearing about Christmas, but let's hear from a couple of our sponsors, and then we'll talk about the weather for the weekend. And it has been getting a little bit colder, as we know. So let's hear from our sponsors. We'll be back shortly.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. It's a few minutes after 4 on Friday afternoon. The program It's the Law will start right after I tell you about the weather. Can you believe it's the 15th of January, middle of January already? And basically, we've had some pretty amazing weather. It's been pretty great weather for this fall and early winter. But what about tonight? Well, tonight we're going to have about a, well, it's interesting. It says a 30% chance of rain early, and then about a 90% chance of heavy rain later tonight and into the early morning. So be careful out there if you're driving. It's always difficult when it's heavy rain. The low tonight is only supposed to be about 37 degrees, but sometimes in higher elevations it can get lower and it can start getting slick. So tomorrow, what's happening tomorrow? Well, in the morning, rain is likely, and then in the afternoon and into the evening, slight chance of showers. So not a great day tomorrow. Good time to, you know, do some work inside. Or, of course, if you're a football fan, which we'll talk about later, tomorrow will be a great day to watch football games, playoff games, and some good playoff games. Should be some good playoff games tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, it'll be a partly cloudy, and then on Sunday it should be partly sunny. So if you're getting out this weekend to do something, taking down those last minute holiday decorations and lights, the day to do it would be Sunday, and it should be about 37 degrees as a high on Sunday. And then into Sunday night there's a slight chance of snow showers because it's going to get down, the low will be around 20 degrees. So if, in fact, there's any precipitation, that should mean snow. And early on Monday, there is a slight chance of snow showers again, and then mostly sunny. So there could be that Monday, if you're working on Monday, it's Martin Luther King holiday, of course, for state workers and some other workers. But for those of you who are out there still working on Monday, still working and working on Monday, then there could be some slight chance of snow in the morning, probably 20%. Usually that means it doesn't happen. And then the rest of the day should be mostly sunny, should be a nice day, high of only around 28 degrees. So we're not, the high today was about 47 degrees. It didn't feel like that, but it really was higher. And tomorrow will be a high about 47 degrees, but since there's going to be a likelihood of rain, that won't be great. So anyway, we're back and we're going to talk a little bit about the law. And let me bring you just a couple notes from sponsors, and then we'll be right back and talk about some of the legal topics in the news today.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, good afternoon. We're back. It's the law, and let's talk about the law. Well, one of the first things that I did want to mention again today, because this is so important, and it's happening and starting to happen in this area, is that the scammers are back with the old IRS call. And I don't know if they target seniors. They seem to target seniors. They seem to target other people who may not be sophisticated. And the ploy is they call. They will say they're from the IRS. They say that you owe taxes, usually from a year or two earlier. They will then say that the police will be coming to your house. And of course, if there's anyone in the home that may not be legal, they're going to even be more worried about this. And then they will say that you have to go and do one of two things. I mean, sometimes what they're doing now is you have to go and buy, and I've forgotten the name of it, but it's like cash. In other words, if you buy this, and then they can access the number and draw it out just like cash. But in any event, this is something that can scare people. Obviously, it can scare people. And usually the sums are small enough. I mean, they're not talking $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, although I've heard of situations where they're talking about $3,000. But they're really understand and tell anyone you know who's older or perhaps unsophisticated that the IRS does not call. In other words, the IRS will not call and tell someone to send money. That's just not the way they operate. And even if you look at anything that's a solicitation from the IRS or from any other government agency, you have to be very careful that, in fact, it's from the government agency, because what happens often is it's not. And if you look at the fine print, it may not be. The other thing that often you will get something. I've had recently a couple phone calls, and they're the kind of phone calls that they say they're calling from JCP&L, for example, or they're calling from, well, that's the usual one that I've received, that they're calling from the electric company or they're calling from the gas company. And what they're really trying to do is get you to switch carriers. Now, that may be fine, except you have to be sure that, you know, what you're getting into. And so they're not really calling from the gas company or from the electric company. They're calling from someone who allegedly has authorized them to call and solicit your business. So just be careful out there, because there are lots of ways we can spend our money, but we certainly don't want to do it and spend it with people who legitimately should not be receiving it. So what else we're talking about as far as cases, and there's been not as much recently because of the holidays and judges are getting back on the bench. I was very disappointed to hear that our family judge, Judge Burry, who has now been in Hunterdon County for about a year, is now being transferred back to Somerset County and will get a new judge or judges. And unfortunately, the lack of continuity is really difficult, especially in the family courts, because of the backlog, often cases take longer than a year. So, for example, with Judge Curry, he was here. He may have been here for longer than a year. But as soon as when he left, he was first transferred to Somerset County and then to Warren County. Well, when he left, then Judge Burry had to take over, familiarize himself with the cases. He's done an excellent job. He really has. He works very hard, puts in long hours. you know, doesn't ever seem to take lunch, will stay late if he can help somebody get a case finished, and he has worked very hard. The point is, he's also very familiar with the cases that are going on. So now, once again, there will be a new judge, and they have to take over all of these pending cases along with the new cases that are filed. It really makes it difficult. It makes it difficult, especially for the litigants. And if a case goes on long enough, it can be two, three, four judges, especially because the judges are so overworked here. We do not have enough judges. We do not have enough family judges. And so what happens is they'll divide the calendar and other judges will handle motions. So I had a case that finally finished recently, and there had been four judges, maybe five judges involved in the case. Actually, there were. There were five judges involved in the case before it was finalized. And that's just not fair to anyone. It's not fair, certainly not fair to the litigants, not fair to the judges, and not fair to the attorneys, because what happens is a new judge takes over. They have to familiarize themselves with perhaps a huge file, and then they may or may not be able to complete the case. So anybody who knows the powers that be, we really need our own vicinage here. Perhaps Warren and Hunterdon County would be the same vicinage, but right now it's Warren, Hunterdon, and Somerset County. And in order to try to handle all the cases, the assignment judge, you know, moves judges around, and you have to understand that because she's trying to move the calendar. On the other hand, right now we're going to have Judge Marino, who's been the presiding criminal judge. She's going to be coming to Hunterdon County. She's been the presiding criminal judge in Somerset County. She's a Somerset County appointee. And although Judge Marino certainly handled family law cases, she was a family, the family judge in Somerset for a long time. She was a presiding judge. She's an excellent judge. But to now have to be transferred here, I don't know where she lives, but an additional commute, and it's just not fair. And certainly, you know, especially for the judges who've kind of put their time in, unless they really want family. The judges who want to stay in family very often are switched out of family court, which makes no sense. But the powers that be want the judges to rotate through both, or not both, but all, the criminal, the civil, and the family courts. And they want them to do that during the first 6 years before they're reappointed, because once they're reappointed, they have tenure. But in my experience, and I've been doing this for 37 years, my experience, it's much better to have the judges who really like family to stay on it, because it's a very, very tough position. And some of the best judges that I've seen throughout my career have been judges who wanted to be on the family bench and just did an excellent job and were very dedicated. And if that's the situation, they should stay. So anyway, what else is happening other than the scamming, other than the fact that we need at least one more judge here in Hunterdon County appointed, a Hunterdon County appointee. And once again, what usually happens is any judge appointed first serves on the family bench. And I think that's a really tough, tough position. And in light of the fact that some of these cases go on forever, it's an unfair position to put a judge in who has no feel of what family law is about. But in any event, what's happening, there was an approved for publication case, and I've talked about that. If they're approved for publication, they're precedent. There was, in fact, that came out, I think, today. Case was State versus FW. It was an appellate decision, and they affirmed, meaning the appellate division affirmed the defendant's conviction for fourth degree violating community supervision for life. And I think I'd like to explain a little bit about that. what does community supervision for life, or CSL, mean? Well, that's a provision that existed at the time, in this case, that the defendant committed the sex offenses for which he was sentenced to CSL. And because the defendant committed the sex offenses before the Sex Offender Monitoring Act was enacted, the question was the ex post facto clause. And in that case, or in this case, the Sex Offender Monitoring Act he was barred, and that barred his prosecution for third degree acts, because they're in a criminal situation, you can't be prosecuted for a criminal act that it was not criminal at the time you committed the act. In other words, that's called the ex post facto, and there is a provision, constitutional provision, ex post facto clause, bars a defendant's prosecution for crimes that were not crimes when they were committed. So, and in this case, the court said they didn't decide his alternative argument that imposing the GPS monitoring for life was so punitive as to violate the ex post facto clause in this case. Now, GPS monitoring is exactly that. It's like the GPS we use in our car. And a GPS device can be attached to a person, usually their ankle, and that monitors where they go, and not what they do, but where they go. So that the community supervision for life statute, the court noted that appeared to authorize the GPS monitoring as a means of enforcing the community supervision for life under appropriate circumstances, including where an offender violates the terms of his CSL. So the Parole Board in New Jersey has adopted regulations that provide for GPS monitoring of offenders who were convicted under the Community Supervision for Life Act. And so then that monitoring under defined circumstances and limited time frames. And so that the courts, however, have given offenders due process and the due process right to challenge the monitoring requirement. Now, this was written by Judge Reisner, and she noted that nothing in the opinion would preclude the board, meaning the parole board, from applying those regulations to the defendant now that he's been released from prison. And so this, for anyone who's interested in criminal law or, what can be done to protect the public against repeated crimes by sex offenders, meaning convicted sex offenders, there might be, and I think there is, some information in this particular case that is enlightening. So there was a government case, actually, involving the government, where there actually various federal and state anti-discrimination laws, and the plaintiff in that case was a disability rights organization, and they challenged the validity of a portion of a state statute, and the provision in the state statute authorizes municipalities to charge a permit fee to disabled persons who request a personally assigned exclusive parking space on the street in front of their residences. Now, on the same legal grounds, this disability rights group challenged an ordinance adopted pursuant to a statute by the city of Passaic. And that ordinance imposes an annual fee of $50 for a disabled person to obtain, and they have to do it on request, a personally assigned handicapped parking spot in front of his or her residence. Now, in this case, the city of Passaic conceded that a separate provision within the ordinance that had imposed a fee for obtaining generic handicapped parking spaces on residential streets was invalid. So in other words, if it's not personally assigned, then you can't charge for it. So the disability rights organization contended that the fees imposed for personally assigned parking spaces represent an illegal surcharge that discriminates against the disabled. Now the trial court, and this is in Passaic County, rejected this argument, finding that no federal or state anti-discrimination laws or regulations require public entities to provide such parking places. And so that's where they said, no, you can. They can charge for it because it's not required. Nobody is entitled to a personally assigned handicapped parking space on public streets. And the appellate division affirmed the trial court's decision, and they also rejected the organization's challenge to the fee provisions within the statute and ordinance. And they ruled that the city is not precluded from charging a reasonable fee for a parking benefit that is not required under the anti-discrimination laws and which is not otherwise made available to non-disabled persons. Well, the point is a non-disabled person can't get that personal spot. So in this case, they felt that the fee, and it was a reasonable fee. I mean, it was an annual fee of $50, and I guess some people would not find that reasonable, but I'm sure if it was a fee of $10,000, there would have been a different decision in this case. So also, there was a case with the Township of Toms River, but it had to do with the Department of Transportation, and frankly, I don't think it's of any interest to anyone other than a person who would be reading that case anyway, and doubt that it would be my audience. So, and there are there's personal injury cases and social service cases, but they were not published. So that means that, you know, although they're instructive, they can't be used. They're not precedent. now there was a family law case. That was an appellate case. And in this case, which was significant, it's called Madison versus Lisnyansky. So this was the father's appeal of a default judgment awarding the mother palimony and custody of the couple's two children. And his appeal was dismissed based on the legal doctrine of fugitive disentitlement. So what does that mean? Well, in this case, a bench warrant for non-payment of child support remains outstanding against the father, and the court held that he's not entitled to protection of the court while he flaunts the court's authority from overseas. So in this case, they said, hey, you can't just flaunt our authority and then expect to get have your appeal granted. And the palimony, of course, that this is a case that obviously started prior to any change in the law in palimony. Anybody who thinks palimony can just be paid in New Jersey these days needs to contact somebody and discuss it, because there's been a substantial change in that. Now, there was also a criminal law case. This was decided by the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice Rabner wrote the decision. And in that case, the Supreme Court said the trial court abused its discretion in declining to grant a mistrial. And he said, particularly in light of the materiality of the evidence that surfaced mid-trial and defendant's inability to investigate it while the trial proceeded, and the nature and strength of the evidence against defendant. So that in this case, for any defendant, one of the issues is a trial court in a criminal case cannot abuse its discretion. And in this case, the Supreme Court found that it did. Now, important case, because the courts have to be careful is basically what it said. And in this case, there had to be something in light of this evidence that surfaced, and there must have been some reason why it was not available to the defendant earlier. So, I guess we, anybody that heard Governor Christie use his sixth and possibly final State of the State speech on January 12th, he touted his bipartisan record and attacked lawmakers' efforts to fund public sector workers' pension plans. And, you know, the pension plans in New Jersey, I mean, we should talk to economists. I mean, it's just going to be a disaster. It's already a disaster because governors who fail to fund these state plans are just passing on and passing the buck. Now, that's my view, not the view of the station, but you cannot, or we cannot, continue to underfund the pension and then expect that our grandchildren are not all going to move out of the state because they're not going to be able to afford to pay it. And that's, you know, another thing is this state raises money for everything. It's now almost, it costs almost $500 just for the filing fees in a divorce case. And so this is truly outrageous. And there was one more fee hike that was going to increase some of the court filing fees, fines, and penalties in order to enhance security measures at the county courthouse. And that at least has died for at least the time being, because the governor didn't sign it. In other words, ordinarily, there is a statute goes into law if the governor doesn't sign it within a certain time period. But at the end of the year, then these things, these statutes, no matter how much time has been spent on them, if they're still on his desk to sign into law, they just disappear, have to be brought up again. Now, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that some petitions filed under the state grandparent visitation statute may warrant designation as complex litigation. And if it's designated complex litigation, then the grandparents are entitled to discovery and case management conferences, case that came out of Hunterdon County, because the judges very often, when grandparents file motions, they dismiss based on the parent, a parent's rights to make decisions as to whether or not the grandparents should see the children. So that in order to prevail, to get past that initial pleading requirement, grandparents are going to have to plead with much more specifically, and they're not going to just have, well, what should I say? In New Jersey, generally, we plead rather generally, but in order to prove that a case is complex, they're going to have to be much more specific. For example, if the grandchild or grandchildren lived with them, there are cases where, for example, well, and generally that isn't a problem because if a child has lived with grandparents, there's a presumption that they should have a continued relationship. But they may have lived next door, separate houses, but spent a lot of time with the grandparents. And so that in that case, it has to be pleaded very specifically and outlined exactly why this case should overcome the usual burden of difficulty that grandparents have to even prevail and get discovery. And of course we know, and one of the reasons that there is concern on the other side is that very often the custodial mother or custodial father just doesn't have the same funds, the same financial ability to pursue these cases. So that we'll see how many times they're actually allowed. Okay, well, I'm going to take a couple minutes to play the news break and give you some more spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with more of the law.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Well, I think what you want to do is to get your money out of stocks, which are going to fall further, and put it into safe places where you're going to get a decent yield and not have any capital risk.
Stocks are plummeting on Wall Street, and personal finance expert Jordan Goodman says it's time to pull money out of the market.
This is not a time to be sit back and wait. This is a time to preserve your capital.
Goodman said the economic slow turn in China and falling oil prices are the main reasons why stocks are crashing. Goodman said the usual philosophy of riding out dips in the market isn't going to work this year. Check your bank statement if you stayed in a Hyatt hotel during the last half of last year. The hotel chain is revealing the true extent of a data breach it first reported last month. Malicious software was found in 250 locations worldwide. Unauthorized access to payment cards was apparently happening from August all the way up through December. This is USA Radio News.
The fight to preserve Western civilization and Western values in America is more important than it's ever been, and that's why you'll want to be at the Western Conservative Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 18th and 19th. It's the premier gathering of conservatives in the Western United States. It's the event you don't want to miss. Conservative stars from around the country will be there, including Governor Mike Huckabee.
Military is not a social experiment. The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
We're bringing the illegal immigration problem back to the forefront.
Keynote speaker and former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
The American dream is under attack.
But the good news is we are fighting back.
For more information, go to westernconservative.org. Register now for March 18th and 19th. Sign up for early bird pricing and see the confirmed list of speakers and sponsors. Get involved with the fight for our future at westernconservative.org.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio?
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, we're back with the law and what's happening legally this week or this month. One of the things that I may have mentioned, I think I did mention in the past, that there was a student suing Princeton University and he wanted to remain anonymous. Actually, I'm not sure if it's a he or she. But in any event, the U.S. District Court judge in Newark has ruled that a Princeton University student who was required to leave school after a suicide attempt can remain anonymous at least during the discovery phase of his suit against the school. So at this point, he doesn't have to disclose his name. And that gives him some added protection, obviously. So what is happening in with our own U.S. Senator Robert Menendez? Well, he's filed an appellate brief at the U.S. Court of Appeals. And, of course, that's the Third Circuit in Pennsylvania, but that's New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And he actually, it was a bid to dismiss corruption charges that he's facing. So that continues on and on and on. Apparently, there's a case where arising from a settlement written on a cocktail napkin, and an appellate division court has upheld the dismissal of a suit against a New Jersey firm that represented a member of the Goodies, and I'm sorry, I can't. I know that's the Real Housewives of New Jersey. But the any event, the settlement was written on a cocktail napkin. There was a suit by the Goodies family in a real estate closing, and that's been dismissed. So if you watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, then you know how to pronounce that name. Sorry that I don't. As I said, there were not many published cases. There was another case. There was another case, Lazar v. Lazar, and the plaintiff, Jacob Lazar, appealed from an order denying his motion to enforce the provisions of a final judgment of divorce, requiring his former wife to pay past due alimony totaling $126,000. And apparently he moved to Israel shortly before finalizing the final judgment of divorce, and his former wife, never paid the ordered alimony sum, asserting the plaintiff failed to provide a mailing address. Now, in his pleadings, he explained that his enforcement request was delayed because he was homeless and suffered from physical and mental problems, which interfered with his ability to address the matter. Now, the trial judge, considering the pleadings, denied relief. He concluded that the plaintiff's failure to provide an address to facilitate payment was a condition precedent of his receipt of the alimony, and therefore his material violation resulted in a waiver of all past due payments. Now, as expected, the appellate panel rejected the judge's factual findings drawn without benefit of a plenary hearing, as well as his erroneous legal conclusions invoking the doctrine of waiver. So in this case, he gets his day in court. So the defendant former wife's argument that once contacted by plaintiff's counsel to resume alimony, she had no obligation to resume payment until her former husband gave her an address in Israel, and that was rejected as meritless. The panel also rejected the judge's conclusion that the forfeiture of alimony was mandated because of prejudice resulting to the defendant, and then nor did equitable estoppel or latches demand forfeiture of the alimony. Latches means that someone has basically sat on their rights, and that in this case that he never did anything until the alimony arrears were $126,000. So, and in any event, what happened is the appellate division reversed the trial court and remanded the matter for a plenary hearing. A plenary hearing is a trial, basically. It's a hearing on the issues. So this case, he's got his right to go back and have a hearing as to whether or not she owes him the $126,000 that she didn't pay. So as I said, the New Jersey lawmakers were poised to increase the filing fees along with fees and penalties to pay for security measures at the courthouses. And frankly, these fees are getting to be ridiculous. And anyone, you don't believe it until you get involved in litigation and find out just how much goes to pay for all of the filing fees. And it, frankly, although there's a provision that if you can't afford them, you can apply for a waiver. You know, if you have an attorney involved, it's going to cost more to have the attorney apply for the waiver than the filing fees. So it makes no sense. But frankly, that's not the way we should fund those individual funds. Just because security is needed in the courthouses doesn't mean that they that should be that kind of a tax. And frankly, I think that's why there are certain governors at certain states want to say that they're not increasing taxes. So if they increase filing fees, it doesn't make any difference because that's not taxes. So there is a, the American Bar Association's Commission on Disability was a pledge for a change to promote diversity and inclusion of persons with disabilities in the legal profession. So this is most professional schools are, you know, taking a look at that because there's no reason why someone with a disability should not practice law. And if they, you know, certainly there might be some disabilities where they can't practice law or, you know, be a doctor or a nurse, but that certainly just now it's too much of a blanket prohibition in some cases. So there was a opinion with respect detailing competing public policy issues, and that's the nexus between Open Public Records, OPRA, and the Federal Family Educational Records Privacy Act, FERPA. And so that was a case that was in fact approved for publication. So if you have any interest in it, I would certainly go and read the case. And let me give you the name of that one. It was CG and RG versus Winslow Township Board of Education. It was a law division case in Camden. Okay. Actually, a former CEO with Quest who was convicted of insider trading and found legal difficulties, to put it mildly, legal victories difficult to come by in the past decade, won a $14.17 million jury verdict on January 7th. And that's Joseph Nacho, N-A-C-C-H-I-O. So, you know, he won the lottery. Now there's I'm sure there's going to be an appeal. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more involved in that, but it's a pretty significant victory. Now, if you've had, if you've been following anything about the Alcotest device that is going to, you know, go to the junk heap, so to speak, as the date grows closer, state officials are really not talking about the replacement. And, you know, some lawyers are saying, hey, this is unfair to litigants unless we know what the replacement's going to be. So we'll see. There was a... Oh, that's something else. Let me just play a spot and see if there's anything else that is really of critical interest to anyone.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, I think we're going to play the news, and that's kind of the end of the program. There's nothing much more going on in the law that's of huge interest this week, and we'll play the news, and we'll come back with the sports guys. And there's a lot more going on in sports than is going on in the legal news, as far as I'm concerned. But then maybe that's because I'm a diehard football fan, and I work in the legal field. So we'll be right back after the news.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
There is this myth about the visit that we made, my colleagues and I, with El Chapo, that it was, as the Attorney General in Mexico has quoted, essential to his capture.
Actor Sean Penn is expressing terrible regret about his meeting and interview with drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. In an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes, Penn talked about his concerns surrounding the story that appeared in Rolling Stone magazine.
I have a regret that the entire discussion about this article ignores its purpose, which was to try to contribute to this discussion about the policy in the war on drugs.
Penn says his article failed in that regard. The Hollywood actor dismissed claims by the Mexican government that knowledge of his trip was instrumental in El Chapo's recapture last week. Penn also said he believes the claims could put him in danger. The interview airs Sunday night. This is USA Radio News.
Ah, the beginning of a new year. Started off right during Rite Aid's 2016 Starting Points. Because every week through January 23rd, you can ring in the values. With 1,000 Plenty Points worth $10 in savings when you spend $30 on participating products with your Wellness Plus with Plenty card. That adds up to big savings every week for the entire month. But only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Worth at least $10. Limit 2 offers per card per week. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
As your financial advisor, I require a small 12% commission in addition to a 3% subcommission on every financial transaction and a 9% commissionary commission on top of the honorarium.
Honorarium?
It's like a commission.
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because with TurboTax Absolute Zero, you can file your simple tax return for free. There are no hidden costs. It's simple, and it's absolutely free. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter. For simple U.S. returns only, offer may end without notice. See offer details at TurboTax.com.
Looks like Wall Street is ending the week on a sour note. Oil prices sliding below the $30 a barrel mark forced the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 500 points, among other factors. A continuing plunge in Chinese markets and the latest data on the U.S. economy is adding to investor worries. The moment last night's GOP debate ended, the spin began.
He came in at number one, he goes out number one. Donald Trump was the big winner in the mind of conservative commentator Scotty Nell Hughes, who was at the Republican debate in South Carolina.
There were some very harsh blows dealt tonight between some of the candidates, but I think overall, Mr. Trump came out unscathed. And if you to walk around the spin room, the overall general feeling is he's unbeatable at this point.
Hughes told USA Radio News the potential ticket of Trump and Texas Senator Ted Cruz could be very powerful. I'm Jason Wirt.
Nearly 300 Walmart stores will close worldwide. Most of them are the Walmart Express stores. 154 of them are in the U.S., most of which are within 10 miles of another Walmart. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Staples can help. We have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water.
I wouldn't.
We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Yeah.
Staples, make more happen. And right now, buy any HP ink cartridge and get the second half off.
Limit 2 per customer ends 1/16/16. Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store or staples.com for details.
The International Anglican Communion has suspended the American Episcopal Church over its acceptance of same-sex marriage, USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Anglican leaders made the decision Thursday during a meeting in Canterbury, England. Episcopalians made the change in June of last year. They voted to change church law to allow same-sex couples to get married and adopted new wedding rights. The suspension means Episcopalians won't be allowed to represent the Church of England's International Communion or participate in internal Anglican decisions. I'm Tammy Rose.
New York is considering a ban on sales of smartphones that offer encryption. A bill by Assemblyman Matthew Tighton calls for any smartphone made beginning this year to be decrypted and unlocked by the manufacturer. Default encryption allows only the phone's owner to access information on the phone with a password. It also prevents police from getting information through the manufacturer without a search warrant. Chipotle is closing all of its stores for several hours to hold food safety meetings with its employees. The company said the meetings will take place February 8th. The announcement comes after a months-long battle with E. coli outbreaks at several locations. Chipotle has recently taken extra safety measures to stop contamination, but the public is still concerned. Chipotle founder Steve Ells says he's confident that they can gain back their customers. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org. Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, let's give you an update on the weather, and then we will get to the sports guys. And Ken is here with me, and Ken, guess what? It will not be a day to play football outside tomorrow in New Jersey. So luckily there are no games in New Jersey, and we will talk about the Jets. And, we don't have anything to say about the Giants. But tonight we have could rain a 90% chance of heavy rain later tonight. It'll only be about a 30% chance earlier, but it could be fairly heavy after midnight. Tomorrow starts out with about a 60% chance of rain, which is likely, and then a slight chance of showers later. Temperature tomorrow will be about 47 degrees. Was about 47 today, but it didn't really feel like it because of the other weather. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, and then nice day Sunday, partly sunny.